morning. This is Weekend Edition for Saturday, August 12th. I'm Chris Roberts. In this hour, we'll meet an outlaw of the airwaves who has a message for the general public.
I'd like you to know that the government, public broadcasters, including this station, commercial broadcasters, have all raped the radio spectrum and robbed you of your right to free speech.
Radio pirate Eric Generic went on the air this week in the uptown neighborhood of Minneapolis, and boy, does he have a broadcasting axe to grind. We'll also hear about a community garden that's bringing young people in inner city St. Paul together and connecting them to the earth. The 9 o'clock hour of Weekend Edition coming at you. Stay with us. Weekend Edition on the FM news station. The time is 25 minutes past 9 o'clock. An outlaw took to the airwaves this week in the uptown neighborhood of Minneapolis. 22-year-old Eric Generic, who sports a brilliant blue mohawk, shiny black combat boots, and carries a Marxist outlook on life, is the voice behind 2000 Flushes Pirate Radio. Generic borrowed the term 2,000 flushes from a TV commercial because he likens the airwaves to a toilet that needs cleaning. There are no sacred cows on the unlicensed broadcaster's program, which begins at sundown every night on 99.3 FM. Here's a taste of 2,000 flushes, complete with Eric Generic's view of a radio relative on the left end of the dial, KFAI Radio.
A good example of KFAI and their pandering to corporate interests is their City Pages radio show. And now, if any of you have tuned into this fine program, you can go to the fridge now and get yourself a nice refreshment, because you probably have already thought out the exact same thing I'm about to tell you. And that is, City Pages likes to believe that it exists to provide you a fine community service, but in actuality, the only reason City Pages exists is to make profit through advertising, just as Exxon Oil exists only to make a profit through oil sales. City Pages is a purely profit-driven company. Now, when you think about that, think about it in that terms. Here's KFAI, a station which likes to think of itself as a community-based radio station, giving a radio show to a profit-driven company. That's absolutely no different than if they gave Exxon Oil their own radio show. Now, how many of us want an Exxon Oil radio show? Please raise your hand. I'm looking out the window. Who's raising their hand? I think you see my point. Let's have some music.
Music is relatively rare on Generic's nightly program. He says his mission is to initiate public discourse and to rant about the FCC and broadcast issues. He built his 30-watt FM transmitter by stealing the design from a California transmitter company, and he proudly proclaims that he's one of 6 FM radio pirates in the world. When Generic came into our studios this week, I asked why he brought 2,000 flushes to the airwaves.
Because I think the airwaves are dominated, well, all broadcast media is dominated by commercial interests, and public broadcasting is absolutely no different than any other form of commercial interest, although you like to try and hide that fact, I think. And I've talked to so many people out there who have something to say and have absolutely no outlet to say it. And I guess I started reading back about the history of radio and the Radio Act of 1912 and how corporate interests like Westinghouse locked out all the amateurs. And I started thinking about the cable companies when they laid coaxial cable across public lands. And they were required in a lot of cities to provide public access. And airwaves are absolutely no less public property than public land, and I think they're even more public. They travel through your very body.
what viewpoints are we not hearing on
this station in particular?
On any station because of commercial interests blocking out expression.
Obviously the poor, the disenfranchised, the blacks, any sort of minority. I look at the demographics of this station in particular, and it's pretty obvious what this station caters to. I mean, you have excellent coverage of financial news or things going on over at the Capitol building. I think that pretty much goes for all stations, the more explicitly commercial ones as well as public or even what is referred to as community stations in this market, which I don't think are actually community radio stations.
You seem to be most perturbed by public stations because, if I understand you correctly, you think that we're masquerading to a degree.
I do hold a certain animosity towards public broadcasting that I don't hold towards commercial broadcasting, because commercial broadcasters exist purely to make money, and they're honest about it. I mean, you know they're slime, and it's plainly apparent. I think public broadcasting is much more insidious about its desire to make money, and public broadcasting really has been much more responsible than any overtly commercial broadcasting interests in the elimination of community radio. All through the 70s, the National Public Radio and the Corporation for Public Broadcasting lobbied the FCC for the elimination of radio stations under 100 watts. And they were successful.
What kind of a radio spectrum do you envision?
I'm tempted to say total chaos, but I know I have to admit, that's not really the answer. I think that we do need a certain amount of regulation, but the regulation that we have now is certainly not working in the interests of the average person. The average person has absolutely no say, and we have channel after channel on both your FM and your AM band that play this insidious, vile pop music simply to fill the space between commercials.
Don't you think our conversation will be somewhat obsolete in a few years with the digital age upon us and so many broadcast opportunities opening up in different forums because of technology, like the internet, for example? It's got its own radio.
That is one of the biggest shams, I think, that's being expressed in popular discourse today. I see that as a total fallacy, and I'll give you the example of high-definition television. In 15 years, all television broadcasters are mandated by the FCC to start broadcasting on a new frequency so that they can convert over to high-definition TV. At that point, all of your old television sets are going to be thrown out en masse, and the spectrum that perfectly well could be given over to low-power television broadcasters is going to be auctioned off to big businesses for, you know, whatever new use they find for it.
But you were talking about high-definition TV. What about radio?
I don't see radio getting any better. Radio's churning out the same stagnant crap that it's turned out for the past 40 years, and I don't think it's going to change.
What would be your dream for radio to become?
First off, power levels have to come down. Power levels have to come down incredibly. Right now you have stations... Actually, I haven't checked 91.1, but I'll have to check this on my frequency counter. But I bet you're churning out a power level somewhere around 100 kilowatts, and you're bleeding up and down the spectrum, you know, up to three channels outside of your assigned frequency, taking up way more than your fair share. And if the power levels came down, it would free up an enormous amount of the spectrum for smaller community stations.
What about programming?
I do think there needs to be somewhat of a cap placed on the commercial interests of radio. I understand, you know, you need a source of financing to keep your operation going. If the power levels come down, obviously the amount of money you need is going to come down as well. And I think first off, we need to get the power levels down, and I think that will take care of a lot of the programming issues as well.
What's wrong with the FCC, in your view?
The fact that it's made up of a lot of ex-broadcasting industry employees who still have old friendships and old connections, and I think feel somewhat indebted to their former line of business, as well as the fact that many of the FCC employees that I've talked to are completely out of touch with a lot of the issues. The chairman of the FCC gave a speech in Washington a few weeks ago, and somebody asked him about micropower broadcasting, and he replied by saying that he had heard absolutely nothing about the subject and he'd have to look into it. But I mean, there's people who are being fined right now as we speak for what they call micropower broadcasting. I prefer to call it piracy. And, well, I think micropower broadcasting is a growing movement in this country, and I'm really surprised that the chairman of the FC is completely, you know, unaware of that.
Are you worried that the FCC will seek you out and search and destroy?
Yes.
How far away from that are you? How many days do you think you'll be on the air before you're found out?
Everyone asks me that. I have absolutely no idea. I expect it will be sooner than later. Either they'll do something soon, or they'll completely ignore me and wait for me to run out of money to keep this going.
Do you see yourself then as a radio martyr?
Yes. Yes, definitely.
Why are you so willing to sacrifice yourself that way?
Because I do have an electronics background. I was able to piece this thing together after about a year's worth of work and blood and sweat and other bodily fluids. And I know that there's a lot of people out there who can't do this. And I guess I'd like to bring the issue into public debate. And if it goes somewhere, then we'll see more low-power broadcasters, and you'll see a lot of these people who may not have the technical background be able to get, you know, legal sources of broadcasting equipment. And actually, I've thought about, you know, going into business after this is all said and done and building transmitters.
It's interesting that your frequency is 99.3. That's not too far away from 99.5, which is classical 99, Minnesota Public Radio.
That's correct, and I have had some interference from 99.5, and I have considered filing a complaint with the FCC against 99.5 for drifting outside of their assigned frequency.
But wouldn't that be committing suicide in a way?
I don't think so. As far as I understand the regulations, they have to, even though I'm an unlicensed broadcaster, they have to review my complaint. Mm-hmm.
Is it just a simple irony that you located there on the dial?
No, it's definitely done on purpose.
Well, you have an audience of Minnesota Public Radio listeners listening right now. Anything you want to tell them?
Well, I'd like you to know that the government, public broadcasters, including this station, commercial broadcasters, have all raped the radio spectrum and robbed you of your right to free speech.
What do you mean?
Well, say the average person wants to get on the radio. What does he do? If I hadn't done this and I called you up and wanted to be on the air, you wouldn't have even returned my call. And you know that's true.
broadcasting all programs. This is Radio Kingston Pirate Satellite. Orbiting your living room, cashing in the Bill of Rights. Human Army Surplus.
That was Radio Pirate Eric Generic. His 2000 Flushes pirate radio program can be heard every night at sundown in the uptown neighborhood of Minneapolis on 99.3 FM. Clash on Weekend Edition at 21 minutes now before 10 o'clock.